Good to be with you and continue our thoughts on the theme for this year. Originally, as I mentioned, this was going to be the kind of intro lesson to the whole series for this month, and that is studying with all our heart. And the lesson I preached this morning was supposed to be lesson number one, but we went with that one instead. And so I want to come back because I do want to talk a little bit about some of the thoughts that I had prepared. I think it's bearing on our discussion. It definitely has a lot of application for what we're after this month. For those of you that might be visiting, you might see that there's some books up on, I don't know what you want to call it, the railing up here. These are some commentaries and some aids that I've been using in this series of lessons. And the elders have asked me this month to approach this Sunday morning lessons in such a way that we're teaching those that are present how to study. And so I have some of the books that I've been using in this series of lessons and hopes to for individuals to understand we're studying God's Word. That is the first and most important thing. But some of these other books are good aids. That's all they are, is just aids to our Bible study and our understanding. And if we're going to study with all our heart, we need to understand what that looks like. And so that's why these books are up at the front, up here. No means or no fashion do we think they are inspired books. They're just simple men that have come up with ideas and studied a great deal on the subject at hand. And so I hope by the end of the month we'll be able to have several of these up here just to kind of show you some of the things that I have to go through to get a lesson together in a series of lessons, and how much study goes into God's Word in order to stand up before you and preach a lesson similar to what we're doing this evening. So, and I would encourage as well, it was kind of an emotional plea. I don't know if Brother Todd knew this when he was talking to me. I had to step back and think about it for a second first, because the subject matter kind of caught me off guard. But the second is, Brother Danny Elkins, before he passed away, came up to me and said, "Neil, I'm ashamed. I don't know how to study, and I want you to teach me." And we never had that opportunity to sit down, because it was shortly after him talking to me that he had his accident. And I've thought long and hard about that, and I thought, boy, I feel real bad about it, but I didn't repent of it. I didn't do anything to change it. And so I appreciate the elders and their push behind this. They probably didn't even know that that was a backdrop for me here, but I'm walking into this with both eyes wide open. My mind definitely opened. I asked for anybody that had any input this morning, and it was overwhelming. So I don't want you to think that if I ignore you or don't talk about your way of studying, it's just I had so many people talk to me about how they study and what benefits them. And we hope to talk about some of those ways. But if I forget what you have said, I don't want you to think I didn't think it was important. It's just there was a lot of people that talked to me after this morning's lesson. So with that, let's get into our study. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, that is the verse for this month, and it simply says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." I alluded to that a couple of times this morning. I also mentioned this morning, that if you are in possession of a copy of God's Word, you have one of the most valuable resources, if not the most valuable resource, that a Christian can have. I hope you understand that, and I hope that you believe that. And in Psalm 119, David reveals in just about a few verses how valuable God's Word truly is. And I don't know if you caught that in light of the subject matter this morning and the theme of this month, as Brother Dylan was reading this evening. He goes on to say in verse 6, "For I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments." I will keep your righteous judgments. Goes on to say, "I'm afflicted very much. Relieve me, O Lord," according to what? According to your word. David understood that when God spoke, whatever he spoke was powerful. And so as we approach a study like this and we start studying about God's word, we got to believe that it is, his word is powerful. Remember this morning, and I'm not going to recap everything that we talked about this morning, so breathe easy there. But in Romans chapter 1, what does it teach us about the power and the power of God's Word. I read this morning in verse 16 of Romans chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. And so this is not just an everyday common book. This book is uniquely different than any other book that has ever been recorded. This book possesses power. And it possesses power because of who wrote it. It's God revealing this to us. And we talked about how God's Word has an impact on those that have good and honest hearts. When they read it and they understand it, it provokes a reaction from them. A good, honest heart wants to get his life right with God. And you can't help but look at God's Word and understand the power that it possesses. And so tonight, as we look at this text in Psalm 119 and verses 1 through 12, I hope that you'll appreciate with me the power that God's Word possesses. I think it's interesting to begin looking at verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a path and a light to my path. It is one of the most practical benefits that God has given us. What do I mean by that? When we read it, God expects us to do something with it. It's not just a book for us to gain knowledge and understand what God has for us to do, and that alone. He expects us to do something with God's Word. He expects this Word to become then practical in our everyday life. And that's the whole essence of Psalm 119 and verse 5, right? God's Word is what? It's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God expects His Word to have rule in your life, and it can guide you. That's the whole premise. That's what's laid out for us in verses 105 and onward. And I'm also here to say this evening that an individual can benefit from its practical nature of God's Word. Each and every one of us can benefit from that. God's written Word is valuable to us. But we must receive this living Word. You remember I made reference to this morning? I want to start here because or continue in our study and really start this lesson tonight looking at John chapter 1 and in verse 1. It's a powerful text. John chapter 1, please turn with me there. And in verse 1, let me ask you a question. What do you think about when you think about Christ? Now that might vary from person to person for several reasons. Maybe in light of where your mind is at and what you're thinking about at the present time, it might vary from where we're at in our walk as a child of God. There's a whole host of reasons why it might vary. But at its very basic nature, this verse demands that we think about Christ and who Christ is. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that to be Jesus. He's referred in this text and other verses as the Word. Now that's interesting. It comes in light of what we talked about this morning, what we'll talk about tonight. Who is Jesus to you? Who is He to you? Go back to our text in Psalm 119. And in verse 5, your word is a lamp to my feet. You see, as we talked about this morning, Christ is our example. We also know in scriptures that it teaches us who Christ is. He is the light of the world, right? He's not only the word, but he's the light of the world. And so understanding what we talked about this morning and inserting this knowledge now, or looking John chapter 1 and verse 1 and verse 2, we see the significance here. In order for us to have the light guiding our paths, we have to have Jesus, the Word. John chapter 1 and verse 4 says that in Him was life, and the light was the light of man. John chapter 1 and verse 9, that was the true light, which lights every man and cometh into the world. And so again,
This idea of Jesus being the light. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we may be complete individuals. Right? The Word does much for us. It is this light. It is this lamp. And light has its purpose. It illuminates. It makes a spot where it's once dark for us to be able to see. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in just a second from now. God's Word guides us by teaching us what is right and what is wrong. It points out where we are wrong, where we have come short. It also corrects us and brings us back to where we need to be right with God. And it instructs us on how to stay in that right direction, on that right path. You see, God's Word does so much for us. Now think about it like this for just a second. In Psalm 119 and verse 6, it says that I have sworn and I will perform it and I will keep thy righteous judgments. What's that mean to you? There are several things that jumps to mind, at least as far as my mind is concerned. To benefit from God's guidance, to benefit from His Word, and have that Word be the light to our path, illuminate the darkness so we're able to see, we must first turn on the lights. I think that's important for us to understand. I think all of us understand a very practical, physical sense. We can have access to light, but without switching that switch, we're still in darkness. And no matter how familiar your house is at night, you stumble around in the darkness, eventually you're going to stub your toe or you're going to hurt yourself in some way. And so it is for the Christian life. We can ignore God's light, the Word. We cannot study it if we choose. But the end result will always be the same. Spiritually, we will make mistakes. And let me even go a step further than that when it comes to opinions, mistakes. But if we ignore God's Word and don't open it up and allow the light to be in our life, you know what's going to end up happening? We're going to sin. And we all know the consequences of that. We sin, we separate ourselves from this wonderful relationship that we have in God. Let me ask you a question. When you get in your car at night, dark night, I live out in the country, it truly is dark there, you city folks can drive around with no lights on and not have any trouble. But out in the country, the first thing that you do is get your seatbelt on, then you turn the key and you wait for what? The lights to go on. The lights don't go on, guess what you're not doing? You're not driving, right? In a physical sense, we understand that. Before we start our journey from one place to another place, we have a set place in mind, home or wherever we're at. We're traveling from home to a certain destination. We need lights in the darkness. Let me ask you a question. Would you ever dare to think to drive without lights? We wouldn't, would we? There's several reasons. One, the least of it, the cop would probably pull us over. We're definitely, as we're driving down the roads, we're going to get those flickering of lights, somebody telling us, turn your lights on. Worst case scenario, guess what happens? We're in an accident. None of us would drive without without light in the darkness. Let me ask you a question, then. Why, as Christians, would we even consider trying to navigate through this dark, perverse world that we live in without the guidance of God's Word? You see where we're going with that? God's Word is a must for us. We have to open it up. We have to let the lights be turned on in our lives. And secondly, with that, when the lights come on and we see what's going on, we ought to obey what we see, right? We look into God's Word. I remember one time studying with an individual, and it was very apparent from the very start of the study. This individual, his wife was receptive, but he wasn't going to have any part of it. And at the end of the first study, I asked, okay, can we have another study? And her response was very quick. Yes, I would love that. His response was, if I have to sit through another one, I will. But I have no intention of changing. Boy, that's sad. But for many of us, I know at a point in my life as a Christian, I didn't echo those words. I definitely didn't say them out loud.
But that's how I was living my life. I would attend services and I would sit here, but guess what? The light wasn't getting in my life. I wasn't letting it affect me, to change me, to promote me to move from a direction I was going into the opposite direction. I wasn't concerned with God's guidance in my life, and my life then very quickly became a mess. And I think it's interesting when that happens in our life, we scratch our heads and say, why me? Why has this happened this way? Or maybe as we look on to somebody who has not put God first in their life, doesn't appear to have concern about growing as a Christian, and they become unfaithful, and we'd say, well, where did we go wrong? I don't know how many parents I've seen that happen with. Don't guide their children, don't teach their children, don't make them obey or mind, and then they leave and become unfaithful, and they say, well, where did we go wrong? And at the end of the day, I know there's some parents that have done all that they can do, and their children become unfaithful. And we wonder why. Well, I've come to understand and appreciate in a very basic sense, what's happened is a child has never learned to make God's Word a light to their past. They've been told what to believe, told how to believe, made to make certain decisions in their life. Very few of them have been allowed to have that freedom to make those choices and have the consequences. And in the end, this is what happens. And so we need to be mindful of that. Let me ask you a question. Suppose you're walking through the woods with a bright flashlight. I talked about my children and how they like to be outside with their LED little flashlights, shining it around in the dark. Let me just pose a scenario for you. Suppose you're on a walkway. It's in the woods and it's dark. You can't see, but you turn on your flashlight and you're able to see. And just as you turn the flashlight on, you notice in front of you there's a large hole. It's directly in front of you. Because your light's on, you can see it. But instead of walking around it, instead of using that light to guide you around that hole, you walk straight into the hole and fall in the hole and hurt your leg. Who do you have to complain to? Whose fault is it? It's not the lights. Right? We would say to ourselves, we wouldn't be too bright if we did that, right? And you'd be true with that. We laugh at that. We wouldn't do that. But yet we do it spiritually almost every day of our lives. We don't let God's Word be that light to our path. I like Psalm 119 and verse 107, where it simply states, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. You know what's interesting to me? Over and over again, in but a couple of verses, we see David saying the same thing. His trust, his confidence is in God. It's in God's word. When he's afflicted, where does he turn? God's word. When things are well, where does he turn? He turns to God. He understands the importance of God and communication with God in his life. Not only does God's Word provide guidance, as we talked about this morning, but it also provides reassurance. It also provides comfort when one becomes stressed. You know, we think about 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. David was greatly distressed, and there were hardships in his life. There were people speaking of stoning him. And his soul, all the people were grieved. And and every man for his own son, as the scriptures reveal to us, and daughters. But David encouraged himself, and it says this, in the Lord his God. I like that. It teaches us much about this thought and this process that we go through. When stress gets us, when things are uncertain, where do we turn to? Maybe that's a telltale sign of where we're at as a Christian today. Where do you turn to? Maybe you're having trouble in your marriage. Where do you turn to? Do you turn to that friend that you have that's been divorced, that's had the issues in their life? Mary maybe has been divorced and remarried several times, and you turn to them for guidance. Where do you turn to when you're stressed? Life is not working out like it ought to, as far as you're looking through your eyes. You see, David understood at those times and others, he was a man that was after God's own heart, and he was one that stuck very closely to God and his word.
There's a book. I don't read a lot of secular books, but there's a book that I have peered into and read several of the pages thereof. And Charles Spurgeon, and there's a line that simply says this, and it fits so perfectly with what we're talking about. Our service to the Lord does not screen us from trial. I hope that you understand that as a child of God. Just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't mean that you're immune from the trials in this life. I love this statement. Your service of the Lord does not screen us from trials, but he goes on to say this, but rather secures it for us. Isn't that true? That's so accurate. It's what God does for us. And when we look into his word, we can then begin to appreciate this fact. God is in control of all things. We looked at the very fundamental fact this morning that God created all things. In the beginning, God created all things. Everything that is, God created. And David understood that, and he appreciated it. And he turned to God, and the reassuring benefits that he would find in God's word. What about us today? You see, it's good for us to be afflicted, but it's also good in those moments of affliction that we realize what God has to say on any given matter. Did you notice in Psalm 119 and verse 71 as well, where this is recorded for us? I love this as well. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? Finish the verse up. That I might learn your statutes. Why is it better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting? Why is it better for us to read the Bible than read all these other books that have been erected from man today? Why is that? It's because in the Bible, we find God's will for us and his way for us. And when we are afflicted, when we are suffering, we are often drawn to a higher power. And if you're a Christian, then you know who you often draw nigh to. It is God. You're hurting, you're lonely, and so you draw to God. And in drawing close to God, we're drawing close to what? God's Word. Right? And we read it. What does it do for us? It benefits us, right? That's the idea here. It was good to be afflicted because it draws closer. It draws us closer to God. It's good for you to go through the trials that you go through because it helps us appreciate who we are. We are frail and God is great. And he is awesome. And we see that as we look into his word. Scriptures teach us that our inward man is renewed day by day. How does this happen? Well, it happens through the working of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, right? The Bereans did what daily? What do we do daily? How often is your Bible open? How often are you given to true, sincere Bible study? More than just a flippant read, and I mentioned this morning, I don't want us to downplay that. I think it's important for us just to sit down and listen or read God's Word. But we're talking about digging deeper with this series of lessons. How often do you dig deep in God's Word? If you do, you be renewed day by day. I like what Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 says. That the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. Isn't that so very, very, very true? Psalm 119 and verse 8 as well. And you might think, well, we got several verses to go. Several of them are combined together in one slide, so don't fret too much. But by him, Christ, this is Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips and giving thanks to his name. One of the things that you come to appreciate when David wrote, and when David wrote in Psalm 119 and verses 105 to 112, is David always had a thanksgiving in his heart. He was always somebody that was brought to an appreciation of who God is. He had a thankful spirit. I've known several people like this. You talk with them and it's very apparent. In every circumstance, whether life is good or life is having its trials, this person understands God's place in their life, and they're thankful for all that God does for them in their life. And Psalms is full of that. Psalm 118 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Because of His mercy, He endures forever. This idea of being thankful, Psalm 118 and verses 127, in verses 27 through 29, this idea of His mercy endures forever. And because His mercy is there, this overwhelming thanksgiving is found. That's one thing that I've come to appreciate in studying the Bible in this fashion that I have been for the last couple of weeks in preparation for this series. I've become more thankful for what God has done. We often talk about Him sending His Son down to this earth, and I am indeed grateful, and I do not want to downplay that any. But that's not all that God did. You see, He gave us His Word. And it's been preserved through the years, and when you study church history, you begin to understand how awesome that truly is, that God's Word has been preserved through all of these years in such a fashion that we in Greenwood in 2018 can sit here and have God's Word on our laps and studying it just as we are this evening. God truly is awesome. For not just for what He's done, but what He continues to do in our lives here today. And we ought to give God the respect that He's so richly deserving of when it comes to this concept of studying His Word. If you will, turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Please, all of you, just for a second. Colossians chapter 3. There's a couple of verses over there that I want to read this evening. When you find yourself stressed and complaining, unthankful, and all the like that might accompany those attitudes and those feelings, I want you to ask yourself a question. When was the last time that I sat down and read my Bible and meditated upon God's Word? I guarantee you that if you are stressed, if you are complaining, and you are unthankful, there's a high probability that you've allowed yourself to be bogged down with the cares of this world, and you've not spent enough time with God in His Word. You've not given yourself entirely to His Word, because what God's Word does for us, it benefits us in so many different ways. It helps alleviate the stress. It definitely eliminates complaining when you appreciate all that God has done. I don't know how you can't walk away from the class that Brother Jeff led us in this morning in our adult class and have a negative, sour disposition, or if you're struggling with issues in this life, to be an unthankful individual. You walked away from that class being filled with thanksgiving. God has done so much for us. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 15 beginning, it says this, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart, which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." How do we do that? How's that even possible? Verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." You see, one of the great privileges and benefits that we find in studying God's Word and doing so with all our heart is what we find here. This very principle that we find here in this verse. We become more thankful people. Scriptures teach us what the individual does on the other side. In Ephesians chapter 5, the individual that's not concerned with that, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Verse 20, "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." I tell you, there's many benefits to God's Word. And it would behoove us to walk away from a study like this, not understanding that we all need to have the desire to open God's Word and learn from Him.
It does so much for our soul. The last several verses, I love the thought of this, that we as God's people can find comfort and protection in His Word. But the reality of it is, we have a world that's pressing in against God's people. God's Word guides us. We've looked at that. We've established that through this day. It provides reassurance and comfort. We've already established that as well. And in these two verses, Psalm 119, 109, and verses 110 as well, we see God's Word provides safety and security from our enemies. You see, David felt this. When God spoke, there was safety and there was comfort. We too need to understand and appreciate that. When we read God's Word and we understand it, we need to appreciate what God can do for our situation. The wicked have laid a snare for me. I think it's interesting when we think about that. Do you think that was just a thought David had? No, it was a reality. Remember, on many occasions, there were ones that would seek David's life. I want us to understand today, we are surrounded by people who desire to destroy any and all that would hold up this book and say that it is true and we need to live by it. I tell you, we live in a day and a time today where when we hold this book up, we get pushed down. Well, what do we do with that? You see, God's principles are under attack, and we cannot downplay that in any way or any fashion today. We are under attack. I will preface that by saying God's way and will has always been under attack. It just maybe seems a little bit more real to us because it's us who are going through it today. While ISIS is murdering Christians and burning Bibles in Iraq, we are in our own country here, the United States of America, and our religious freedoms are being under attack as well. You know, there was a mayor, you remember him, that ordered a preacher to give him his outline before he spoke on a certain subject matter. We all laughed at that because it was shot down very quickly. Before we laugh at that, I want us to think and appreciate just for a second. How long's same-sex marriage been around and approved? How do you think that started? You see, we need to understand and appreciate that with one assault on God's Word, always comes others. You know, there was a study that was done in 2013. I'll trust this statistic for as far as what it is. I didn't do the study, so I'll emphasize that. From the very start, but this study is taken from the First Liberty Institute, and there was a list of instances that were, as far as hostility is concerned, on people's religious beliefs. This year, it showed that 1,285 such instances occurred. That's more than double the number that happened in 2013. Now, to us, we might think, well, that's not a whole lot. It's just 1,285 instances. If this is exactly accurate and true, like the ones that did this study profess, it's doubled since 2013. What will it look like in 3 years from now? In 5 years from now? Where will the numbers be? Where does the number need to be before we're concerned enough to understand that our religious freedoms are under attack? There's an all-out assault against the home. An all-out assault against God's Word and His people. The attorney for this organization, Justin Butterfield, said this, that some of these attacks have been in areas that we used to think unthinkable and would never happen. That's alarming, isn't it? It causes us to stop and think for just a second, how important is God's Word to you? We know how the world views it. We know the direction that the world is going in. And the urgency for us, so much more so, as God's people is pressed upon us to understand and to practice what God gives us and to speak up. I go back to what was mentioned in our VBS. It's high time for us to quit being the silent majority and start just being the majority.
to speak up and use our voices and make God's word be known to those around us. While the wicked try to snare us, God's word assures us of the victory that waits for us. I want to close with Proverbs chapter 1. Turn with me over there for just a second. Proverbs chapter 1, I'm going to read a couple of verses here. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but if you got time this afternoon, you're looking for a little extra Bible verse to look up and to read, go home and study Proverbs chapter 1. It says in verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us,' let us lie in wait and shed innocent blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive and whole, like we go to down to the pit." Over and over again, how the world presses upon us. How the writer here describes to us how the world works in our lives. Let's not let that happen. Let's not be caught up with being politically correct or doing what everybody else is doing. Let us be of the utmost concern. Let us be concerned what God's word has to say. Follow that. And let the chips fall where they may. How are you doing with your study? How important is God's word to you? Don't deceive yourselves. There's an assault on God's will and God's way happening today. And it's of vital importance for us to understand today as Christians, we have to stand. And we have to stand rooted and grounded. And we have to teach the truth. And it doesn't matter the group that we are teaching it to. Teach the truth. Stand up and let God's word be seen and heard in your life. I'm a firm believer. I know people have told me, quit dreaming, but I'm a firm believer that I can change this world. It starts with me. And it starts with my group of tremblers. And it moves from there to Clark Elementary, my circle. And in changing that and influencing that circle for good, guess what happens? It trickles through to other people's circles and all the way around. Someone once said that you can get online and look up people and within six Facebook posts, I guess it is, or friends, that you can go right across the world. This person knows this person, this person knows this person, this person knows this person. All our friends towards each other. Goes all the way across the world. You can change the world. Quit allowing this world to convince you that you can't. You can. And not only can you, God asks you to do that very thing. But it all begins with a sincere heart wanting to know about God's will. And that goes back to God's word. How you doing with your own individual Bible study? Are you studying with all your heart? If you're not, why not change that? Husbands, be the men that God has called you to be and lead your home. Lead your home. Lead your children into understanding God's word. If you are a mother of children at home, it's your responsibility. Unfortunately, that lot has fallen to you. Teach your children. Teach them the truth. Teach them the way. And before too long, those young men and those young women are going to rise up and they're going to do the same thing that you'll do. One by one, we can change this world. But it all starts with one sincere heart, believing and practicing what God's word has to say. Won't you be of that courage tonight? Are you here and not a Christian? Why not become one tonight? Make that good confession in front of this group tonight that you believe Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and that you're willing to turn from all the garbage that surrounds you and all the actions and attitudes that you once possessed,
and you're willing to say, today is the day that God owns me in my life. If you're that person tonight, why not come to the front? Raise your hand. I'll come to you. Make your request be made known to us and God this evening. If you're here and you're Christian, you've not been living right, maybe it has to do with Bible study, you've not been giving God your all with that, repent of that. You're still here. You're still breathing. There's still opportunity. Change your ways. Become closer to God in your study with Him. Together as we stand and sing.